So I can't speak for everyone, but I knew the excitement that the NBA playoffs would bring. What I didn't know and what I didn't expect was that the fans would bring their own level of excitement to the playoffs this year. With the rise in players speaking up about issues surrounding mental health, should players have to speak to the media? What teams have really surprised me so far in this year's playoffs? Anthony Davis is out for Game 5. Do the Lakers have a chance? The Women's New York Liberty star Sabrina Ionescu shares a piece of advice with us on preparation. Y'all know I couldn't do this alone by myself today. I got my brother Brian Morrison on the line with me. It's 94 feet. I know the conversations are resurfacing on whether or not Ben Simmons needs to develop a jump shot. I was not happy with the way that game ended last night. Not at all. And you guys know, we're going to talk about it today. This is 94 feet. We're going to talk about it. Welcome on in, guys. This is your host, Biodita. I hope everybody's doing well today. I just also want to start off by saying happy Memorial Day. I know yesterday we commemorated the day of all our men and women who have served our country. Those who have lost their lives, you know, serving and essentially keeping us safe, giving us an opportunity to have a better life here. I didn't say it last time, guys. I had Kyle on with me 2 weeks ago, and he also is a U.S. Army veteran, and I didn't take time out to just give him some respect. So, Kyle, we thank you for your services and all that you have done for our country. I do have another guest on the line with me today. I got my guy, Brian Morrison, on the line. Brian, talk to me, man. How you doing today, man?
Yo, my man B, I'm feeling good. Glad I'm finally able to be on the podcast with you, man.
Hey, man.
You know, I'm happy. Can't wait to get into it.
Absolutely, bro. And trust me, it's a pleasure having you on here. And I'm hyped. I'm ready to get into it. You ready?
Oh, yo, you ain't got to ask me. Let's get it. I'm ready.
That's what I like to hear, man. Oh, and just to anybody here that's new, I just want to encourage people to subscribe, man. Subscribe. Even for those of you that follow me on social media, I don't always share every episode on my social media. So that's why I really encourage you guys to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever, man. Subscribe, okay? So let's go ahead and get right on into it. What's on my mind, all right? Brian, we had a major story that broke out. It really kind of culminated over the last couple of days, just in regards to athletes in the media. And I know typically you guys know we talk about basketball here, you know, but I thought we're going to deviate just a little bit from basketball, not completely, but just with this one topic of athletes having to speak to the media. We know that the Japanese tennis player Naomi Osaka, who recently withdrew from the French Open, it was due to the result of what she mentioned at first was just mental health. And she went on later to release a statement, and she said, "I suffer from depression." Brian, I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Should athletes have to speak to the media? Talk to me.
I'm going to say no, because when it comes to a lot of these things, I side with the athlete.
Okay.
I say it's a double-edged sword. I say yes and no. I would say right when it's fresh, I would say no. When it's just hot, when the stove is hot, I would say no. Just because, you know, they're still people.
Mm-hmm. Let me cut you off real quick. So, I just want to make sure our listeners understand. When you say it's hot, meaning like right after the games or right after events, is that what you're saying?
Right after the game, okay, right after the game, emotions are still a little high.
Uh-huh, right.
You know, because they're still people. And I mean, speaking for myself, you can probably attest to this as well. When you go through something and it's, you know, emotions are high and it's still fresh, you don't want to talk to anybody.
Right.
You probably don't want to talk to the people that's close to you, let alone people that don't even know you, and millions of people are going to hear what you got to say.
Right.
So things could be misconstrued, or you could say things in ways that you don't mean to say. I always bring this up.
True.
Allen Iverson, the whole practice rant that gets played over and over again when they don't even play the whole clip, but I'm not even going to get into that because that's going to make me mad.
another day.
Yeah, another day, for sure. But that's what I say. I say yes and no. I do think that there is a time where, yes, athletes, they owe it to, you know, the fans, they owe it to, you know, the media to kind of give their takes on, you know, kind of what's going on, or, you know, the games and so far and so forth. But at the end of the day, we still have to think about these athletes as people.
Right.
And especially when, you know, we can't, and it's I don't think it's fair to the athlete when for them to be dehumanized to the point where they just have to talk about things that are relatively serious and just talk about it like it's nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Something as serious as, you know, if they're going through depression, and for them to feel like they have to explain themselves.
Right.
That, you know, you're trying to run some public PR, you know, to make sure that, you know, that they're not looked at in a certain light or anything like that. You know, so I definitely think there's a time and a place for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it should be like really mandatory, especially when emotions are running high and when it's still hot.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's just kind of like my perspective on that.
Okay. Okay. All right. So I definitely side with you and a couple things you mentioned. I'm going to start off by saying this in regards to this conversation. I believe we've had numerous occasions arise over the last few years. Okay. Bringing attention to mental health. It's a serious problem. You know, and I'm kind of with you. I love that Naomi Osaka has brought this to the light, because I think for us as viewers, it helps us to relate to these athletes, you know, and it removes that disconnect that because you work in a different occupation from me that, oh, you can't experience the same things I experienced. Not true, because I can even think back to Kevin Love, DeMar DeRozan, who have come out and talked about suffering from depression and I think suicidal thoughts and things of that nature. And again, it helps to bring that togetherness, that guess what? We really are truly a part of the human race. Nobody's really exempt from any one of these kinds of issues that are occurring. So, you know, I love that she brought this up. I think we're gonna have to find some kind of like a middle ground. A middle ground where athletes can get the medical attention needed and the support, the mental support, but also continue to do their job. You know, and I really don't have a solution in place yet. I would have to think about it a little bit more. But to get back to the question, yes, I do think that they should continue to speak to the media. And I look at it from this aspect. Let's remember, the purpose of the media is to report, is to critique, is to comment on what the athletes are doing, okay? Which all helps with raising awareness to the sport, all right? Prime example, I read a Fox article the other day on Naomi Osaka. Naomi Osaka, for the year 2020, was the highest paid female athlete on the year. Naomi Osaka brought in $55.2 million is what she brought in. Only 5.2 of it was compensation from the actual matches that she actually played in. The other 50 was endorsements. And what I look at that and I say to myself is, without the media recognition for her expertise on the court, I don't know if the endorsement revenue would have been as high. I think she still would have got some because she's just that great. But would it have been as high, you know, if you weren't getting some of that attention that the media was giving? So, like I said, I think there's got to be some kind of middle ground, you know, where, like I said, we can attend to the needs of the athletes, but at the same time, we can still accomplish our work. Because the thing is, the media, their job is to help generate interest and attention in the sport. You know, think about, you know, all the different connections that we have to people now today with social media and different things of that nature. I can access and find out what's going on with a game. I don't have to be in front of my TV anymore because I have Twitter. You know, reporters are on Twitter. We got Woj, you know, like that whole Woj bomb thing that, you know, people go so crazy about. Like, you know, these are all the different elements of the game that, like I said, have really just helped to drive the sport. So I think there definitely is a place for the media, but I think, like you mentioned, we need to be able to hear people out, recognize that these are people dealing with real issues, which also need attention as well. It shouldn't just be swept up underneath the rug. They're not just athletes. They're human. They're people. So I definitely agree with you on that. And just real brief, I even read another article today. I didn't get a chance to finish it, but it was on LaMarcus Aldridge. You can find it on The Athletic, who mentioned the same thing, that he dealt with issues with depression and just mental health and things of that nature. And we know LaMarcus Aldridge just had to retire early just due to the status of his heart and not being able to handle the physical activity. You know, so this is real stuff, man. Real stuff. I'll let you get any closing thoughts on that, Brian.
For sure, yeah. Just touching on the part where you said middle ground, I think that's the key term.
Yeah.
Middle ground. And your point about the media, I don't want to say like driving the narrative, but kind of giving the athlete that exposure that could potentially drive up their endorsement revenue, which I think is a great point, because that has a lot to do with You know, I don't know if LeBron would have Nike or all them other endorsements if the media didn't hype him up when he was 17, 18 years old.
True.
Or he might not be the icon, the worldwide icon he is without that and that exposure that I feel like LeBron, that's my guy. And I feel like he's like my uncle or something, because I just feel like I know everything about, I see him all the commercials. Right. I got him on Instagram. I got him on Twitter. And right. I'm like, it's that connection that the everyday fan can have.
Right.
So I definitely think that there are positives when it comes to the media, for sure. And I'm sure the athletes would agree as well.
Yeah.
So like you said, it has to be like that middle ground where, you know, where we humanize these athletes. Sometimes people forget that they're people too. They go through the same thing that we go through, even though, you know, they're at such a different level than we are. So right. I definitely, that's actually a great point. I didn't know that about Naomi. 50 million was, I mean, I know endorsements take up, you know, they're a huge amount.
Yeah.
When it comes to especially like stuff like tennis.
Oh yeah.
Tennis and golf and stuff like that.
Boxing is another big one too.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. It's mostly driven by endorsements. Yeah. So I definitely agree with you on that point. That's a really good point.
Thanks, man. I definitely appreciate it. I'm really interested to see, you know, what are going to be, where we, how we're going to evolve from this issue, you know, just to see where right. things go. Because it is, you know, it's growing, you know, and it needs to be dealt with. So just moving on, guys. Second thing here for what's on my mind today. As you guys know, we're in the middle of the playoffs. Okay. And I wanted to talk about the teams that have surprised you so far this year, Brian. So we're about a little less than a week and a half in. Can you give me at least one or two teams that have surprised you so far in this playoffs this year? Go ahead.
Oh, well, I get two, I bet. Okay, so initially, before Saturday, I was going to say Dallas.
Okay.
Now, I know Luka was hurt. I know his neck injury guy was lingering. Mm-hmm. And the Clippers came back and they tied the series up. But right. I don't think anybody saw Dallas going to LA and beating the Clippers both games to open the series up. Like, that was right. just, Luka is just out of this world.
Yeah.
Like, out of this world. And he plays that, he's not super athletic. He plays at his own pace.
Yeah.
He's super strong. And it don't matter. PG, Kawhi, either one of y'all, come get this work. Come step out here on this island and come get this work. Let me hit you with this hezzy real quick. Let me hit you with this step back. And the step back isn't even fast. I'm like, yo. But he just always gets it up. Like, I'm like, yo.
Yeah.
But he's just, it's just something I've never seen before. Like, and for him to be this young, I'm like, he's just putting up 40, just, oh, typical 40-point triple-double, like it's nothing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So I would definitely say Dallas before Saturday when the Clippers tied the series. But yeah. I want to say the real team, I would definitely say, is Atlanta.
Okay.
Because we all know the Knicks, they went on a tear this year.
Right.
Going from where they were, like, I probably say my whole life, probably your whole life, the Knicks ain't been nothing. Like,
no. Yeah.
They've just been the butt of the NBA for, like, the past 25 years.
Pretty much, yeah.
They haven't. Yeah, like, you know what I mean?
So, just some part.
Right, exactly. Like, who wants to go to the Knicks? Like, nobody cares about the Knicks. You know what I mean? Like, of course, they had Melo, but they weren't really winning, though. Like, they weren't really winning. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I would definitely say Atlanta, because, you know, being at how hot the Knicks were, and how Trae Young has just come onto the scene. I mean, I knew he was a killer.
Right.
I knew he was. But the way he can just control the game, and it's kind of like Steph Curry, like, but not on that level yet. Steph Curry's just on a different level.
Right, but I know what you mean.
But yeah, right. How he can just come down and he'll just shoot from the logo like it ain't nothing. You know what I mean? And his size. He can still get to the rim. His floater game is crazy. He can still get to the rim. And how they've shut down Julius Randle.
Right. Yeah.
Julius Randle has been going nuts this year, and he's been shut down this series.
He hasn't had a good season.
And it's crazy. Yeah, because when he's on the bench, it looks like the Knicks they're playing better when he's on the bench. They're right. moving the ball. It's not so Julius-centric. So I would definitely say how the Atlanta Hawks have that they're a very well coached team. Who is it? Nate McMillan? Yeah, he's done a great job with that young squad. And for them to be up 3-1 on the Knicks, and I'm like, and I just love it, like the competitive nature. Like the guys, they're jawing back and forth. It just makes it because I can see it. Spike Lee, he's over there on. He's at every single game on the court side.
Yeah,
and I just love it. I love it. And they have really surprised. They have really surprised me. I mean, I thought they would give the Knicks a run, but for them to be up 3-1.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. No. And I'm kind of with you there, man. I was gonna choose the Bucks at first, but I'm going to save the Bucks a little bit later because they definitely surprised me. But who I really wanted to talk about, I'm like you, man. I want to talk about the Hawks. The Hawks have definitely impressed me so far this year. You know, prior to the start of the playoffs, people had the New York Knicks winning this series. Many people did. I did. I heard pretty much a lot of people in the media, you know, kind of just write off the Hawks thinking like, you know, well, they're not going to really go too far. I even had to just kind of dig back a little bit in my thinking. I even remember during the summer when I saw that they signed Rondo and they got Gallinari. And I started looking at that roster. I said, man, it's, you know, the Hawks might be okay this year. They might be able to do some things. I really didn't know what to expect. Obviously, they don't get the most amount of TV coverage when you look at some of the other players or some of the other teams in the league. But, I mean, like you said, they have just been phenomenal. Definitely can't sleep on the greatness of Trae Young. He's proven that he's a star in this league. I think the other thing that helps the Hawks team is they got plenty of guys that can hit shots. All right? Kevin Huerter, John Collins, Bogdan Bogdanovic, DeAndre Hunter, Danilo Gallinari, all these guys, give you shots. And like you said, when you talk about Trae coming off those screens, being able to penetrate, get in the lane, make plays, all these guys are sitting out there in the perimeter, ready to knock down shots. He's got Rick Paul inside to clean up the paint. I mean, and you still got Lou Will. I forgot about Lou. You still got Lou Will.
Oh, yeah. Coming off the bench.
You know, and pretty much, I mean, his game looks revived since he's left the Clippers.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he looks like a completely new person. So
he's home in the Magic City.
And that's another thing too. Yeah, you know, he's probably in there getting his wings. So I mean, you know, they've had a good run so far. And I'm definitely impressed. I agree with you. I expect them to finish off the Knicks. However, it is very nice to see the Knicks back in the playoffs, man. I gotta be honest with you.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Like you said, Spike Lee, just all the hype in New York, the people outside of the Garden, man, it's beautiful.
Oh, going crazy. Yeah.
It really is nice, man. So I'm looking forward to more years with that, and I hope they continue to build. Obviously, they're going to need to bring in some other assets. The other team that I wanted to go with, same thing. You already touched on them. I wanted to go with the Mavericks specifically for the first two games. Again, I don't expect them to win this series, but their first two games that they played were great, man. You know, I didn't expect them to grab those first two games, and the fashion and the way that they did it is really what surprised me. Game one, they shot 50% from the field, 47% from the three. Their leading scorer was obviously Luka, who finished with a triple-double, 31 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists. In game two, Luka went for 39. The second leading scorer behind him was Tim Hardaway Jr. with 28 points, and they shot nearly 60% from the field, 53% from three. Yep. On top of that, some of those shots Luka was taking was just like circus shots. Leaning on one leg, I'm falling out of bounds. And he was draining them bad boys, man. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, it was like all luck. No. He was in it, like you said. You know, now I don't expect the Mavericks to win. I do expect them to lose. I think the Clippers have finally woken up. But they definitely impressed me with the way they took those first two games. I got to give them some credit on that. But. So moving on to the third thing for what's on my mind. In a series of game twos that took place last Wednesday, there was a fan sitting near the side of the new, and that was sitting in Madison Square Garden near the sideline, who decided to spit on Hawks point guard Trae Young. Russell Westbrook of the Washington Wizards, as he was making his way back to the locker room, a fan had dumped a bag of popcorn on his head. The Sixers organization responded Thursday morning by revoking the ticket membership of the fan and banning him from all Wells Fargo events in the future. The Knicks, as well, issued a statement that the fan has been banned indefinitely for the future events at the Garden. And we can even add on to this because it looks like the fans have been more exciting than the actual playoffs at some points when you look at the last week. Obviously, I believe it was Sunday with the Boston Celtics, we had a fan that decided to take a water bottle and toss it at Kyrie. Even just last night in D.C., we got a fan that decides to run out on the court and go and slap the backboard. I don't know what that was about. But Brian, talk to me. Do you find the actions of these fans to be egregious at all? in these first two scenarios with the Knicks and also the Wizards?
Let's unpack this because I've been waiting on this. Because okay. this is all this is just ridiculous. Okay, y'all locked in the house for I don't know over a year, and as soon as y'all get back into the arena, y'all acting a fool. What is going on? First of all, let's unpack the Knicks first. Okay. The guy had to pull his mask down to spit on Trae Young. Now, Trae Young, it looked like in the video, it looked like he wasn't feeling or didn't notice it. But if it was me and I noticed it, I'd have been up in the stands. I'm just letting you know right now. It'd have been Mouse in the Palace part two. Like I'm just like, yo, Ronald Test was ahead of his time. Because yeah, I'm like, yo, what is going on? Like, what in the world? Like, what is wrong with you? And then Russell Westbrook, they're dumping popcorn, which is essentially trash. Yeah. Dumping the popcorn on his head. How you feel if you walk into the copier at work and somebody just decides to dump cold popcorn at you? Right. What is going on? Yeah. And it's crazy because, so, you know, I've been working from home since last March. So I've talked to some of my coworkers and such over like Microsoft Teams or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so we were kind of just talking about it just casually throughout the work day. And he's just like, oh, well, it happens in every other sport. And Russell Wilson was acting like he was hurt, but when they dumped the popcorn, he was ready to fight. Like, what's that about? And I'm like, okay, like you're just missing it,
right? And it's something
right, exactly. Like you're just missing it. He's like, oh, well, they pay their money. I'm like, they pay their money to watch the game, not to verbally and physically abuse the players.
Exactly.
Like, what is going on? You know what I mean? And. There was another incident with Ja Morant's dad in Utah. I heard about the Utah fans. One of my friends lives out there. He says they're terrible. And, you know, he just says like, oh, I'll put a nickel on your back and make you dance for me, boy, or something like that. That's what Ja Morant's dad said. You can, and then the whole Kyrie Irving thing where, okay, now they want to say, oh, well, he stepped on the logo. That's why we threw the ball at him. That doesn't mean squat.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean squat, okay? And you cannot tell me that you cannot convince me that there are not some form of racial undertones with the guise of being an opposing fan. You can't tell me that. You can't do it. Just the comment to John Morant's dad, and it's just like, I mean, I'm gonna just call it what it is. They're doing this to all the black players, and I'm like, I. This stuff has been going on. It has been going on. Right. I do think that a lot of it is a little bit more sensitive because of the time that we're in. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's still no excuse for it. There's no excuse for it. Spitting on somebody, that's the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
That's just zero respect for that person.
Can't be justified.
It is no way you can justify that. And we're in a pandemic. Like, don't even get me started on that. But right. I'm just like, it's just time and time again. It's just this disrespect. And then going back to the media point, a few 10, 15 minutes after, the player has to talk about how they were just dehumanized to the media. Just like, yeah, you know, I feel like I'm an animal in the circus. Right. Like these are still people. You know what I mean? Like, you could just see it all over their faces. Like, I don't even want to talk about this, let alone, I don't even want to live it, let alone talk about it 20 minutes after it happens. It's just crazy, and there's no excuse for it at all. And it's just no excuse for it. And I don't like, y'all got, like, can y'all just get it together before they just like, okay, we're gonna, I mean, I doubt they would do that. It's too much money involved, but you know, just, you know, like, y'all pay your money to watch the game. Enjoy the game.
Yeah.
Enjoy the game. Okay, you don't like the, like, look, I hate the Celtics. Mm-hmm. I'm a Sixers fan. I hate the Celtics. But I'm not gonna go out my way and throw stuff at them and yell obscenities at them. Like, I'm just not doing that. Like, I'm not doing that. I'll boo the crap out of you. I'll do that. I'll boo you. But I'm not, like, at the end of the day, there's still a man. There's still a man. And most of the time, these people wouldn't even approach these guys face to face on the street because
all
of them, they're bigger than the most than the majority of people on the planet. They're like 6'5", 200 pounds. There's no way on the street somebody walk up to Russell Westbrook and try to say something to him. Russell West, look, them hands work. I know they do. He from South Central. Like, come on now.
You'd be lucky if you can get away with how fast that boy's running, man.
for real.
Man, that's a good take, man. I definitely, you know, respect that. And just kind of going, I want to touch on what you mentioned before about just kind of like those racial undertones. I think the first person who I heard allude to it was a part of the ESPN's First Take program, Molly Karam. And she had mentioned it. She said, why is it that it's always the athletes are African-American and that the fans are Caucasian, the people that are coming up in these scenarios? You know, so I think, you know, she alluded to, like I said, the same thing that you're talking about right now. I believe the consequences, you know, that came forth for these actions were definitely well-deserved. As a fan, you're there to watch the sporting event, which is what you were just saying. You're there to watch the sporting event. You know, I don't have an issue with you booing someone, you know, but when you start talking about people's family, like you said, you know, put a nickel in your back and I'll make you dance for me, throwing garbage at somebody, spitting on someone, you know, dumping popcorn and throwing bottles at people, that's just ridiculous. And it needs to stop. It really needs to stop. It's one thing not to like a specific player, you know what I'm saying, or to root for your team. But all these scenarios that took place, you know, where the fans were just completely in the wrong, if you ask me. And they need to check themselves. You need to check yourself. If you can't conduct yourself appropriately, you need to stay home. You need to stay home. It doesn't give you a license to come in there and just treat people any old kind of way. And I think I want you guys to hear this. I have some sound here from Kevin Durant. This is from, I'm pulling this directly from YouTube. I just want you guys to have a chance to check it out. So give this a listen.
Some situations like this. I mean, fans got to grow up at some point. I know that being in the house for a year and a half with the pandemic, got a lot of people on edge, got a lot of people stressed out. But when you come to these games, you got to realize, man, these men are human. You know, we not animals. We not in a circus. You coming to the game is not all about you as a fan. So have some respect for the game. Have some respect for these human beings. And have some respect for yourself. Your mother wouldn't be proud of you throwing water bottles at basketball players or spitting on players or tossing popcorn. So grow the f*** up and enjoy the game. You know, it's bigger than you.
Yeah, I mean, and I think KD says it best. People need to grow up. People need to grow up. And he said it well. If your parents were to see you doing with these kinds, seeing the things you're doing now, do you think it would please them? Do you think it would make them happy? No, because like Brian had mentioned, it's about recognizing that, you know what, you can be passionate about the game, but these are still people at the end of the day. You know, and I think looking at the most recent issue, well, I guess the most recent one would be the fan that ran out at Washington and Sixers game yesterday. But the one from Sunday with the gentleman that threw the bottle, Kyrie, I think what disgusts me most about that is there's no way you didn't hear about what happened in New York and also with the fan that dumped the popcorn on Russ's head in Philadelphia. There's no way you didn't hear about that because it was all over the TV. It was all over the news, not even just sports. It was everywhere. So my thing is, even with everything that you heard and the repercussions that came down on these players, you still went out there on Sunday and thought it was okay to go throw a bottle at somebody else's head in light of everything that took place not even a week ago. And I'm just like, wow, like that really speaks about who you are. That really does speak about who you are, man. And that just, you know, the whole thing, like I said, is just, it's really over the top. You know, people got to calm down, man. And, you know, we can talk about the pandemic and things of that nature too, but it's really about disrespect, man. It's called home training, you know, and unfortunately, it's in these kinds of scenarios where you see not everybody has good home training. So, you know, I really hope that they can get that and get that, you know, in check. And also, just for the safety of the players, man, like, you know, we don't want issues. You know, I'm thinking about the guy that ran out there on the court. He was only a couple of feet from Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard is not a small guy, like you said. If he would have hit Dwight Howard or something like that and he responded, it would be a whole nother bigger issue. God forbid, we don't even know if the guy would, you know, be healthy because Dwight Howard, he's a big guy. So, I mean, all these different things have to be taken into consideration, man. Any closing thoughts on that, Brian, before we keep moving?
Yeah, your point about, you know, the guy in Boston, like there's like you said, there's no way he didn't see all the other the other incidents transpire. Yeah, there's no way he didn't see it because, like you said, it was all over the place, all over TV, all over social media and everything. But you still took it upon yourself, like, oh, I'm just gonna do this,
right?
Like you said, there's just no hope train. There's zero respect for yourself,
yeah.
Zero respect for the players, and there's zero respect for the game. Like, why are you even there?
Absolutely.
Why are you even there? Like, I don't, like, my little brother, he's 11 years old. There's no way on God's green earth that he would even think to do anything like that. Right. Like, there's no way. And he's a kid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But and these people, they're just so arrogant. They don't think they do anything wrong.
Right.
And I'm like, it's just the arrogance, the entitlement. Just like my coworkers say, you know, he's just like, oh, well, they pay, so they should be able to say whatever they want. I'm like,
no,
I'm like, you're just not even getting it. It don't work like that. But I don't even expect him to get it. Mm-hmm. That's the thing. I don't even expect him to get it. Because some of the other conversations that we've had, I'm just like, yeah, it's just this entitlement that they just think they can do whatever they want and say whatever they want to people of color, to Black people. Like, and that's just call it what it is. That's just how I feel about it. And it's just not okay. And that way of thinking is dangerous. Like, it's dangerous because the things that can transpire from taking those actions, I mean,
right. It is scary.
We'll be here all night talking about that, you know.
Yeah, it really is scary, man. So I hope, like I said, that we can get the proper parameters in place just to keep everybody safe, viewers and players as well.
For sure.
Final thing I wanted to share with you guys about what's on my mind today. There's been a little bit of back and forth going on amongst former number one overall draft pick Kwame Brown and the 2001. He was the number one overall pick for the 2001 NBA draft class. All kinds of responses, takes, opinions that have come forth from former players like Matt Barnes, Steven Jackson, Charlamagne Tha God, who is the host of the Breakfast Club podcast. I believe it's filmed in New York. It's a simulcast program. Stephen A. Smith as well. Brian, talk to me. From what you heard about this so far, what are your thoughts on all this? You know, I'm just kind of coming into more of an understanding over the last couple of days. What are your thoughts on all this, man?
Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
No problem.
Look, man. All right. Kwame Brown, he's been the butt of the NBA jokes for like the last 20 years. Like, let's just be honest, okay? I think we all know that Stephen A. video that plays in our head. He's a bona fide scrub. He can't play. His hands are little. Like, we all know that video. So, all right. Now, you know, there was an incident on the All the Smoke podcast with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes.
Yeah.
And Gilbert Arenas was on there. And, you know, Gilbert Arenas, his name on Instagram is No Chill Gil, so he just says whatever he wants to say, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So it just came up talking about how Kwame Brown is a bust, and he was like a quote-unquote a man-child and all this other stuff that Gilbert Arenas was saying, because they were actually teammates at one time.
Right.
And so Kwame Brown, I guess he didn't, I guess he's getting sick and tired of being the butt of the NBA jokes. Right. Which I get, because they talk about him all the time, like on ESPN, FS1, yep. On all the NBA pod. They talk about how he's one of the biggest busts in NBA history,
right?
Which I'm sorry, he is. So, but yeah. His response is like, okay, it started to get beyond basketball. Like, it started getting personal. You start talking about people's personal lives, pending charges they got on them when it comes to sexual assault and whatever. I'm just like, okay. Yeah. This is getting out of hand. So I mean I get his frustration and his anger. He's probably still embarrassed by it. I don't know. I mean, he did make $63 million over the course of his career, which I mean, he shouldn't be. Look, I would love $63 million. You know what I'm saying? You can call me whatever you want to call me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But I mean, he has been the butt of all the NBA jokes like the last, I don't know, two decades. So I get that he's still feeling some type of way. And he just kind of wants people just to, but he's been taking it to another level, just going in on people's family, their personal life. And I'm just like, yo, this is, I couldn't just help but laugh, because the videos, it was funny. Like, it was just entertainment.
Yeah.
I'm just like, yo, this guy, he is hot. Like, he is hot. He's going in on, I'm like, he said, what about Stephen A? Oh my gosh. Like,
No, I mean, and like you said, I mean, I think it parts. Yeah, you know, it does, you know, certain things are funny, certain things are just saying. I think for me, listen, man, like you said, we know Kwame for as long as we can remember. He's had his name dragged through the mud each time we talk about the number one overall picks that were bust, all right? For the last 12 years in the league, he wasn't a great player. He only lasted 12 years in the league. He wasn't a great player throughout that time. You know, and I took a second, I said, okay, let me put myself in his shoes. And I asked myself, how would I feel if year after year after year, someone else constantly brought my name up in association with underachieving? From that aspect, I get Kwame's frustration. Yeah. Okay, I get it. Yeah. I get it. You know, but I say to myself also, I think something else we have to remember is that not everyone can be a superstar in this league, okay? The NBA is very competitive, all right? There are many players that will play this game who will go down as Hall of Famers. Others will just be considered average. Everyone can't be a superstar. Simple as that. You know, and something else I want to remind people of is the role of the media members, as we touched on a little bit before with Naomi Osaka, all right? Their job is to comment, to report, to critique on what the players are doing. And as a player, depending on what you do on and off the court, will determine, for the most part, what others are saying about you. Kwame did not have the most illustrious career. As a result, reporters, commentators will speak about what you've done. That's your job. You know, so, I mean, like I said, I feel for him. But at the same time, your job is to report on what it is that you've given us to report on. So I think, you know, it's not fair that he gets dragged like that so much through the mud, but I think at the same time, you know, you got to recognize the role and the responsibility of those who have been talking about him, like you said, over the last two decades. Now going back and forth, going back to all the responses back and forth amongst, you know, Steven Jackson, I even heard a response that Kwame Brown had for, I think it was Dr. Boyce Watkins. I think he was another one I heard he had a response for. It's a lot, man. You know, I find it all to be grotesque. I got to be honest with you. All of it. I find all of it to just be, it's really just far-fetched. You know, you got guys coming down on people's lifestyles, you know, for the way that they live, talking about people's family, questioning people's credibility, you know, just bringing up dirt from the past. And I feel like, you know, it's like it's gotten so far out of scope, like it's almost not entertaining anymore. And it's just ugly at this point. You know, and the language and the descriptions that are used to respond, you know, to other people was just very foul. You know, and if you're interested, you know, you guys can find all this on YouTube if you want more detail. But like, it's really extensive. You could probably be there for it. You'd be there for a couple hours. I'll leave it at that. Yeah. It's a lot though, man. And I just, you know, I feel for Kwame. To sum this up, I feel for Kwame in terms of, you know, yeah, nobody wants to be talked about, like I said, in a light of you know, being known as an underachiever. But at the same time, people can only report on what it is that you've done. Like I said, on and off the court. For the most part, you have control over that. So that's the way I see it, man. Any closing thoughts on that, Brian?
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. You know, like you say, you see both sides. Like, all right, just imagine, you know, 20 years of just, and it ain't going to stop. Like, people are going, any conversation talking about NBA, but his name's going to come up. It's just going to happen.
Right.
So just imagine. You know, that goes back to the humanization of these athletes. Right. You know what I mean? Like, yo, he's still a person that has feelings, and a lot of these things, he probably reacted emotionally because you know, he loves basketball. You know, so just you know, that being his career, he holds that tight. He holds that very close to him. So just, you know, him constantly being the butt of the jokes, you know, I'm sure that has gotten to him. But at the same time, we got to work with what you gave us.
Right.
I mean, look, it's not our fault that, you know, your career didn't pan out to be what we all expected or what you expected. Right. But I mean, hey, so like you said, it's the double-edged sword for sure.
Right. Okay. So it's crunch time, guys. You guys know what time it is. We're going to go ahead and get right on into it. The Milwaukee Bucks, all right, were the first team to advance to the semifinal round this past weekend, finishing off the Miami Heat Saturday 120-103. It was a sweep. At one point, the Heat were up 10 to 12 points in the first half. This is in game 4, but the Bucks had a monster second half, outscoring the Heat 63-39. Brian, what impressed you the most about this series?
Two words, Drew Holiday.
Okay.
Look, I knew Drew was good. I knew sometimes he would be on the cusp of great. But I didn't know he was that good. Like I didn't know because he was never really on a team that was gonna really had a chance to win.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, he can handle the ball, he can finish with either hand, he can score on all three levels. he takes away some of that pressure on Giannis to be the playmaker, to make all the plays, because he can do it.
Right.
He can do it. He can defend. He got some size on him. But, and I would say, unlike the superstars, where the superstars, they do at least one thing excellent.
Right.
Like phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he has one of those things. I mm-hmm. think he does a lot of things great, though.
The intangibles.
That's either. What I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right, right. Exactly. He does a lot of things great.
Yeah.
He's always going to try to put his team in a position to win.
Yeah.
He's not turnover prone. He's safe with the ball. Like I said, he can score on all three levels. He can play defense. He can guard almost every position. Maybe he can guard 1 through 3. Because I've even seen them put him on LeBron sometimes, you know, because he has some size on him and he can move his feet and he's not the smallest guy on the court. So he is definitely impressing me. But I will also say the additions that Milwaukee has added. Mm. I want to talk about Bobby Portis and PJ Tucker. They've added an extra element of toughness that I think Milwaukee was missing last year.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just lost to the Heat last year. Granted, it was in the bubble.
Right.
And I guess the Heat, they were bubble frauds. Like I thought they was bubble frauds last year. Who am I? I thought they was bubble frauds. Shout out to my boy Gary. But I thought they was bubble frauds. You know what I mean? And they just proved me right this year. Like I'm like, oh, Tyler Hero, you ain't smiling at the camera this year. Like what's going on? But I'm saying like Bobby Portis and PJ Tucker have added an element of toughness that they were missing. And not to mention Bobby Portis will give you 10 points.
Right. And absolutely. And it's funny, I don't even have to comment anymore because you literally said everything I was thinking about. To me, what impressed me the most was the acquisitions. Jrue Holiday, Bobby Portis, PJ Tucker, and also Bryn Forbes. You know, you talk about they brought in shooting, they brought in
defense, for sure.
They brought in two great staunch defenders in Bobby Portis and also PJ Tucker. And then Jrue Holiday, man, his ability to be able to get in there and break down that zone to create for other players. That's the way you beat a zone, man. It's passing and it's dribble penetration. So definitely got to give them a lot of credit. Moving on to the second thing, Jokic and the Nuggets are currently tied 2-2 against Damian Lillard and the Trailblazers. Brian, do the Nuggets have enough to get by Portland? Tell me your thoughts, man.
I want to say yes, they do. I still think Portland is going to win. Because I feel like the Nuggets are missing Jamal Murray and that guard play that they had last year. But I will say Jokic is just so great.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not the most athletic guy. He's not the fat. But the way he can just play his own pace and get to his spots and kind of just do whatever he wants.
Right.
And he's too savvy. He's too savvy for your big. And he's too big for your wing player.
Yeah.
What are you really gonna do with him? I will say, because sometimes, I mean, I love Dame, I love CJ, but sometimes I'm like, man, what? Like y'all should be so much better than like this team should be so much better than they are, and I just feel like they're underachieving.
Okay.
They should be so much better than they are, but. I do think Portland is gonna they're gonna get themselves together, but Jokic he's just great though. He's just great.
Yeah. All right. So I mean, I think for me, I'm gonna stick with Portland. I don't know if you heard my last episode, but I was betting on the fact that the Lakers weren't gonna be 100% healthy. So that seems to be, I guess, somewhat coming true when we look at Anthony Davis, who right now is doubtful for Game 5. I didn't expect the Lakers to get past the Suns. And I think Portland is going to make their way to the Western Conference Finals. That's what I said last week. I'm still sticking with it. So I expect Portland to beat the Nuggets. And I believe that because Damian Lillard is too much for the Nuggets to handle. I don't think they have an answer for him. And you know that offense rides so heavy on Damian Lillard. I think without Jamal Murray there, I think the Nuggets are slim. I'm still going to say it's going to get to a Game 7. I think Portland will take it in the end. So that's where I'm leading. Moving on to the next thing. Anthony Davis exited Game 4 with a groin injury. The Suns came away with a 100-92 victory. Brian, are you worried about the Lakers at this point?
Yes. I am. I am worried about the Lakers. I still think they're going to win. LeBron's my guy. Look, look, I'm biased. That's Unk right there. I just got off FaceTime with him before I hopped on this call. He was talking to me. He just like, yo, make sure you tell BOD what time it is. But look, 94. Look, I am a little worried. Look, I am a little worried. I am a little worried because, like, all right, how many times is LeBron gonna have to do this? Gonna have to put the team on his back.
Yeah.
Exactly. And because Kuzma's not giving him anything. And sometimes I look at Caruso and I'm like, yo, what are you doing out there? Yeah. Like, I don't know what's going on. But I still think they're going to pull up because I think LeBron, he's still great. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be tough, especially with CP3. He's getting healthier. But I still think the Lakers are going to pull up, but it's going to be tough if AD is going to be out for an extended period for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I hear you on that. I definitely got you. So because of what you just mentioned with AD being out, that's why I got to go with the Suns, man. I think it's a lot on LeBron James to ask him,
yeah,
to really roll this team through. It's going to take major production from somebody like KCP, who I heard is scheduled to play tonight for game 5. Kyle Kuzma, Drummond, Caruso, Schroeder. One of these cats has got to come through consistently over the next couple of games for them to even get by the Suns. You know, because that team looks good, man. They look really good. So I'm definitely worried about the Lakers, knowing that Anthony Davis is not going to be there. Moving on to our final point here for crunch time. Brian, Ben Simmons last night struggled from the line in the fourth quarter, which aided the Wizards to their 122-114 victory over the 76ers. Brian, does Ben Simmons need to become a better free throw shooter and develop a consistent jump shot? Talk to me.
Yes. Yes. I've been saying this for the past, I don't know how many years you've been in the freaking league. Like, and this is so dear to my heart because I love the Sixers. Mm. And I like Ben. I really do. Yep. But I'm like, bro, what have you been doing for the past 4 years? Like, what have you been doing? Like, this is your job. This is your job. Like, and it's not like, and it's like he won't even take the shots. Like, I haven't even touched on the free throws yet, because that's a whole nother story.
Yeah.
But he was getting to a point where he wouldn't even take them.
Right.
And they're sagging off of him 10, 15 feet. They're like at the top of the circle in the paint, and he's at the 3-point line. They don't even care.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? And that like, the disrespect is real. But, I mean, it's smart because, I mean, he's not going to do anything out there. He's just going to try to get to the basket. But I definitely think he definitely needs, like, bro, just take it. Take it. I think it's the confidence thing. And I like Doc's style. So I think Doc will probably try to get him there. The free throws thing they were doing the hack of Ben last night.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, like, it cost just, him. Like, ah, but he
it
just
cost him a game.
Yeah, it did. And I was hot. I'm like, you got to step up and you got to make these. You got to make them. And I'm like, he made his first free throw of the whole series last night.
Right.
I'm like, wait, what? Like, that is crazy. But I just think it's just no excuse for it. It's just no excuse. You've been in the league 4 years. Like, what is going on? Get with Lethal Shooter or whoever, the guy on Instagram, to get your jump shot right. Let's get it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Absolutely. I think I saw a stat on ESPN. They said that for the first 4 games into the playoffs, Ben Simmons right now currently has a free throw percentage of 25%, which is the lowest in history for somebody entering into the first 4 games.
In history.
And the thing is, I'm with you on everything you said. I love Ben. Love him as a player. I'm a Sixers fan as well. You know, he's a great defender. Finds a way. He really excels, you know, in making plays for his teammates. That's really his strong point at the moment. But he's got so much room for growth. And until he becomes a better free throw shooter and develops at least a 10-to-15-foot jump shot, he's going to continue to hurt the Sixers in the long run. You know, and especially this year, considering we're looking at finals contentions or at least Eastern Conference final contentions. So he's definitely going to have to get a jump shot. All right. So for our line segment today, guys, I've decided to title it, "You Have to See It Before You See It." Okay? You have to see it before you see it. I want you guys to check out this sound from New York Liberty's Sabrina Ionescu. This is from the opening day when the WNBA kicked off on May the 14th. The Liberty took down the Indiana Fever 87-90. Ionescu hit the game-winning 3 to put the game away. And I want you to check out her post-game presser. I want you to hear what she had to say and what she discussed and what took place prior to the game.
Was there any point in your rehab you dreamed that this would be your comeback game, that you would hit the game-winning shot and score the final 8 points and lift your team to the victory?
I actually, not gonna lie, at all dreamt about it last night. I try and not think about basketball too much the night before game because I get nervous and don't sleep, but I 100% had envisioned hitting a game winner. And so when we were tied and walking into the huddle, I just was smiling because it was almost like too good to be true. I was like, I'm going to hit this. If the coaches drop a play for me to get the ball, my coaches, believed in me, my team believed in me, I was just ready for the moment. You know, I've been waiting a while to get back on the court. And so just so happy that we were able to get this win.
No, I don't know about all you, but when I heard this, it ignited something in me. It really did. Sometimes before things can take place physically before us, we have to learn how to see it internally, which is not the most easiest thing. I'll be the first to admit. We got to learn how to see it internally. You know, think about what she said. The night prior to the game, she dreamt about hitting the game winner. She dreamt about it. On top of that, she mentions that as the timeout was called, she began smiling because she knew if that play is drawn up for me, I'm going to hit the shot. She already knew. She was able internally to envision the result she wanted prior to anything taking place. She saw it. And I think, again, that just speaks about the power of the mind, that we can see victory for ourselves in life, or we can see failure. And Brian, I wanted to give you an opportunity just to jump in here, man. Do you think maybe you can share like an example with us, maybe where you had to go through, you had to like mentally prepare yourself for something, or maybe you were able to visualize victory in a situation before it took place?
So I can admit, initially, to the viewers out there, when B hit me with this, I was like, what? I got to do what? Like, I was like, I'm not following you. Like, it took me a while. I was like, all right, let me try to wrap my head around what B is asking. So I definitely would say, for those, most of you probably don't know, but I will be getting married next year. So,
AKA he's off limits. I went through if he sounds good on the mic, it means he's off limits. That's what he's trying to let you know.
Look, I don't want no problems. She don't play. All right.
Go ahead.
So I went through a lot of, this is my high school sweetheart. We've been together since I was 16 years old. I mean, we've gone through our trials and tribulations, during that time. It was very tough for me in high school. I won't get into the specifics, but our relationship was tested a great deal. And still to this day, it's being tested a great deal. But I had to be able to see the finish line. And it's kind of hard when I'm still in high school. I still got to finish high school. I got to go to college. I got to finish college. I got to start my career. It's kind of hard to see years and years down the line, but I always knew I had this goal in place, and I had to do what I had to do to get myself ready.
Right.
Because I wanted to make sure that when I present myself to her father, when that time comes, that I'm well equipped for what he is going to relinquish to me. So that was years of preparation and kind of just seeing it. I'm like, all right, I can see when I'm going to propose there. I can see when I'm asking her dad for a blessing. I can see when I'm walking. I can see it. Yeah. But what do I have to do to get there? What do I have to do to get myself ready? Mm-hmm. And I just think, I mean, just me, I think gaining a wife is probably one of the greatest gifts that you can ever achieve in life is as a man. That's just what I think.
Yeah.
And especially just of who I have, who she is. And I'm like, there's no way I deserve this, you know? So just getting myself ready and prepared to take on that. And, you know, her dad, he's not just some guy's like, oh yeah, here, whatever. He asked some follow-up questions for me. Like, you know, what are my intentions? What do I intend to do to make sure his daughter feels comfortable? What do I want to do? What are my intentions? And I had to be ready for that. I had to have a lot of conversations with men in my life, and I had to pray about it, just to kind of get some guidance from the man above. And so I could visualize that years and years ago, and now here I am. You know, I'm 25 years old, and I've been visualizing it since I was 16 years old. And it was hard for me to conceptualize it back then, But now everything is starting to materialize, and it's just the greatest thing ever. It's just the greatest thing ever. And I wouldn't be here without, you know, even my guy B. Like even my guy B. Like we've had talks over the years just about life, and you know, everybody needs those people in their life, you know. And you know, he's definitely had he's definitely played an intricate part about how I intricate role in how I process things and how I look at the world. And just even though it was indirectly preparing me to be a husband, but little does he know that just help showing me different perspectives on how to look at things and how to think about things, that definitely helped me along the way. So I would definitely, just wrapping up, you know, just being, I wasn't able to conceptualize it when I was 16 years old because I had so much life to live, and I just knew that it was gonna happen. I just knew it.
Right.
And here I am, praise be to God that we're able to withstand a lot of those storms, and we're able to just cross the finish line. We're able to cross the finish line next year, and I can't wait for it. And my guy B about to be right there at the altar with me. You know the vibes.
You know. Wow, man. Wow. Beautiful example, man. Beautiful. That was powerful, man. Oof. I felt that one. That one hit me right here in the heart. Nah, man. Good stuff, Brian. I think, you know, you mentioned, you touched on a lot. Man, where do I begin? It's just, you know, you talk about, like you said, you always knew what you wanted. You knew that she was the girl that you wanted to be with. But like you said, it's that maturity, it's that growth process. And then also your own individual life, you know, because the thing is, when you talk about marrying somebody, you know, we're talking about bringing your life and my life together. So it's important that, you know, I'm in line as an individual so that I can fully give myself to you, you know, at the most, I guess, at the best version of myself, as best and as prepared as you can be. So I think, you know, I really love that example, man. That was loaded, you know, just for the sake of time. I would even tell people, just go back and listen to it, man. That was excellent. That was an excellent example. So just remember what we talked about today, guys. You know, this is not always the most easiest thing to do. When you talk about being able to see it before you see it. Even myself, you know, I had to check myself this morning. I woke up and, you know, sometimes when you're in the waiting for certain things, you know, you start to waver. You know, sometimes doubt comes knocking at your door and you start to think, well, maybe I should have, or what if, or maybe I didn't, you know, you start second guessing things. And I had to do exactly what I'm telling y'all right now. I had to see it before I see it. I had to see it internally before I could actually see it in front of me. So I just encourage you guys to hold on, you know, understand that, you know, tomorrow's a new day, you know, and don't let the shortcomings of the past distort today's vision for the places and things that you're trying to go to. You know, you hold the power to that. I hold the power to that. And I press on with you guys in this area of being able to see it before I see it. So let's start seeing it before we see it. Brian, any closing thoughts, man?
No closing thoughts. I just want to say, I appreciate you having me on, man. This is the content here. We go, you know, you touch on a lot of different, not just basketball, but just real life stuff. And one thing from probably one of your first episodes, that you said, when you talked about the Bible and how you don't have to be this super religious person to just, you know, because the Bible is practical.
It is.
Like those three words, the Bible is practical. Those four words,
yeah.
Like I say that to people all the time. I'm like, yo, the Bible's practical. Like it's just life. It's just life. You know what I mean? And that's always stuck with me, because with what you said, I'm just like, yo, that's facts. That's facts. And I tell people that all the time. You know, it just helps you keep you grounded.
Oh, yeah.
You know, helps give you a foundation. You know, just a moral compass. You know what I mean? So this is just great what you're doing here. I really appreciate, and I'm just proud of you. Real, how you just taking this in stride, for sure.
I appreciate it, Brian. We're grateful definitely to have you on, man. And it's the truth, guys. There's tons and loads of revelation in the Bible, man. And it's not about sitting around and praying and fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, there are things that talk about that, you know. But you know, there's a lot of basic practical stuff that you can apply to your life right now and start seeing fruit. And I gotta be honest with you, there's people who are already applying biblical concepts, however, they don't give credit to the Bible. But that's another story. That's all good though. Brian, we thank you for coming and joining us today on 94 Feet. As always, guys, I just want to remind you, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. We'll definitely be back with more content. If you like what you heard today, tune in with us again. This is your host, B.O. Dita. I'll talk to you guys soon.